Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Cowboys showing pressure. Snap to Kirk. Here they come. Got to get rid of it. Lob for Mooney. Caught. 20, 15, 10, 5. Touchdown, Atlanta. Fourth and one is the home run ball for Darnell Mooney.
That's Wes Durham on the call. He's also along with Dave Archer and producer extraordinaire Bo Morgan as he belches on Falcons Radio.
Well, I didn't belch
network.
On the air,
I know,
but you outed
but
me,
I had
Seth.
To. It was loud
Thanks.
Enough to make me
wow, that was a
pause
out.
And
wow.
distract me and
I didn't
and
know
disgust.
We were airing it. I didn't know we were airing out the laundry.
As
in here.
I was calling you an extraordinaire.
Mm. Well, I mean, you know, that's
gas extraordinaire. Is that?
Well, I'm that too. I mean,
Whoa.
I got. Hey.
You hear
if you
that?
Want me
Did
to
you
blow it out of the other end, that's I will,
bus.
But I don't think that's going to work out too
Did
well
you,
for anybody in this room.
I hear the bus, and she just backed over him.
anyway, that was Darnell Mooney. That was his lone touchdown catch. But
that's
yeah,
an interesting play.
Yeah. Go ahead.
That's an interesting play, Tiff. He's remember when he signed here, and everybody goes, why are you, well, this guy's on a two? This guy's only had one good year in his career. And I remember.
Can you slow down with the term everybody?
Hold on, everybody.
Okay, I hate when you do
everybody.
This.
Everybody. I heard people. I heard people.
You heard like four of a million.
Twitter.
Well,
okay.
I heard loud voices, and they weren't just people on Twitter. They were people in the media. They were people on this radio station questioning that signing. And
who was that Georgia player? I forgot. Remind me of his name again. That talked about how everyone counted them out the whole season.
N'Kobe Dean.
Yeah. Thank you, N'Kobe.
Day,
and
7-5.
Then admitted
seven
that.
And, five.
And admitted that nobody.
Yeah.
Was saying it.
But but you. But no. I heard people say this, but darn it, I'll pull tape. I have to. But I remember saying, yeah. He also hasn't had the most efficient passing quarterbacks. That have been throwing him the ball.
Yeah, that's an understatement.
And he's a yak guy. But that play, I want to talk about that play real quick because it's fourth and one, and McCarthy runs down and calls timeout. And I think Arch pointed out in the broadcast that Zimmer didn't look like he was overly excited, the defensive coordinator, about McCarthy calling that timeout and come out of the play. And they have a bunch look over there, Mike, three receivers yeah. over there. And it was it kind of turned into what a pick play would be, but there was nothing you could call on that because the Cowboys
sure.
ran in.
It was a natural rub.
They created the contact because yeah. because Trayvon Diggs couldn't fight through the bunch look, and Darnell is just wide open. And to me, that's one of the hardest. I looked at Arch and said, I think that's one of the hardest throws for a quarterback because. It's so wide open.
Right.
Only you can screw it up with your throw.
Yeah. I love the play design. Obviously, you're in that fourth and one situation, so the line of scrimmage is crowded. I think they were probably in a cover zero kind of all out look up front. I have to go back and look at, who bailed kind of up front. But you get the bunch look to the right. Darnell Mooney's the slot receiver on the inside. He outside releases, runs the wheel, and both those other guys running verticals, and you get the natural rub. So I will say this too, watching from where I was at that point in the press box, I don't think that I've seen Kirk Cousins celebrate that hard all season. And I'm talking about game-winning plays, game-winning throws. He's had a couple of those this year. But when you saw what he felt about that play design, that execution, everything that went into it, he straight up goes like Tiger Woods, like Lane Kiffin, just barrel fisting towards the sideline. He was so excited about that. So huge momentum shifter in the game. And to me, that was Raheem Morris, Zach Robinson, Kirk Cousins saying, nah, we're ready for this, man. We're ready to step up in these situations. It was beautifully executed, to say the least.
And it was after what could have been deflating for the team. He had Drake London, who had the first touchdown score for the Falcons on a pass from obviously Kirk Cousins. But then he goes out and leaves the game with the hip injury. But I believe, I think it was at halftime, or I'm not sure if Raheem did a first quarter interview with Fox, with Pam Oliver, but he said something about, you're missing Drake London, but that they got the guys that can step up, and clearly they didn't really seem to skip a beat after that.
Yeah, it's a good point. It was probably the halftime because that's when he was officially ruled out from my vantage point, was at the half tiff. And they did it. Darnell Moon, Kadarrell Hodge came in and played a significant time. You know, Kyle Pitts didn't have a huge day from what he's been having.
Sure.
He had Ray McLeod.
Yeah. It was important. Like he did his job. Ray, to your point, Tiff, had the big touchdown catch, and Ray McLeod is.
His stat line was a perfect Ray McLeod stat line, in my opinion. It was like three catches for what, 30 or 40 yards. Huge catches, like huge momentum shifting catches. Like I feel like that's what he's been in.
Three for 28 and a touchdown.
That's a Ray McLeod stat line, right? It's beautiful, and I'm sure he's fine with it.
And Bijan had another seven catches. The Cowboys decided on offense that they were just going to run screens. Art said it at the top of the game. His Mercedes-Benz keys of the game was limit the yak for Dallas. And, you know, there's so much focus on Matthew Judon and the sacks that he has and hasn't gotten this year. And they run a screen in the third quarter, Mike. And they try to set up a screen, and they got to Jake Ferguson, and there are two Falcons on the right side of the field. Two Falcons are there, and they have this thing set up perfectly, and Judon just gets his hand in there and bats that ball and just kind of makes the throw inaccurate, and that got him off the field.
Hit his red sleeve on the ball.
That's a touchdown.
I know.
This game could have been different. So the stat lines are not always accurate when you talk about big plays.
Well, another L in the column for the Cowboys is accurate, and they lost in more ways than one with quarterback Dak Prescott having to leave this game. He suffered a hamstring injury during it. He's supposed to undergo an MRI today, but there are also shots of his hand that appeared to be really swollen. I believe it was his right hand, his throwing hand. That appeared to be pretty significantly swollen. I think maybe some bleeding, I think, if I recall, when I was seeing the zoom in of that hand. So, and then you had CeeDee Lamb battling through what appeared to be a shoulder injury during that game, trying to stay in and do what he can to will the team to win. So,
yeah. AC joint, I believe, for CeeDee Lamb and a number of things, obviously, with Dak. It is interesting, too, and Bo and I talked about this morning. Cooper Rush ends up with more throws than Dak Prescott, more attempts on the day than Dak Prescott actually did, which is kind of crazy, but shows you kind of, I think it's been said a number of times, 27-21 is not indicative of kind of what this game looked like, right? You're backing off, you're trying to get them to chew up clock in the fourth quarter. Cooper Rush is in, he's kind of playing in desperation mode, so they also had a fumble that bounced right back into Cooper Rush's hands that he picks up the first down on. So
his
a lot
receivers
of craziness.
Didn't do him any favors. A couple drop passes for them as they tried to work their way back into the game. But CeeDee Lamb, though, still being able to pull off a touchdown catch late in the game despite dealing with that shoulder injury.
He played with it almost the entire.
Yeah.
He had to be
shout
pulled
out to
off
game.
And then fought to go back in.
He's like, I'm going to make my money.
We saw when he went down originally, and it was in the first half, and he got up, and he could tell that he was clutching his shoulder a little bit, and then he played the entire game. He was off that most of that drive where they ended up scoring the touchdown to get it within six, and he came in late, came back in, but This game reminded me of and I know it's going the way back, but we haven't had an offense to me this good in since Matt Ryan's days, and it reminded me of a 2016 game where you scored, you got up two scores, you took care of your opportunities, but then because you're up big late in the fourth quarter, you go in a softer shell than they normally play type defense where you just want them to make short underneath catches and burn clock. And it's exactly what Dallas did. And you get their drive might have been like 4 or 5 minutes that they scored the touchdown. You get the onside kick. But then the game does look closer than it really is. But the reality is you were in control. I just want this team to whether it's it's a learned thing, it's a mentality, whatever it is, but I want this team to put others away. And it's 2 weeks in a row You had double-digit leads in the fourth quarter.
And then you're sweating it out.
Yeah, you didn't put it away. And I'm not going to sit here and lie to anybody. I remember 2020 where you're up huge on Dallas and then you need an onside kick.
Right.
To win, and you don't get it because you watch the ball roll around on the field and you don't cover it. So when they score, they get the 2-point, and they line up for that onside kick, and now the new rule is you got to declare. I was like, my stomach was in my throat.
Same. And shout out to Kyle Pitts for stepping up into traffic. That's a physical moment that, you know, he's not going to get a ton of credit for, obviously, on the stat card. But Kyle Pitts stepping up in that moment, even crossing that 10-yard marker, and he's able to get it done.
Yeah, don't wait for it. You don't have to.
He didn't. He definitely stepped up into traffic and got that done. You know, I do want to go back to one thing, too, and Tiff brought up Dak's hand being swollen. I was shocked after the game to not see A.J. Terrell on the injury list after that strange kind of play where he looked like he tried to punch a ball out on maybe a cross route. I don't remember who it was, but he hits his hands off the receiver's helmet and then kind of clutches his hand and is not even able to make the tackle. And the receiver kind of falls down after their contact. But I thought AJ, I was like, oh no. Like, he definitely punched at that and hit off the helmet. Had probably, I'm sure, some swelling, but I didn't see him on the post-game injury report, which was, I was holding my breath for. That was good news.
Yeah, I think it was just, you know, you hit a bump and it was worse. You thought it was worse than it was and you came out. It's weird because when the Dak thing happened, we saw what you saw. And I looked down, and I was looking down, and they were messing with his hand. And then I get the injury update that I get from Bass, and he goes, Dak out, hamstring.
Well, they did go back and show.
Yeah,
They showed when he pulled up.
But it was like, what? I didn't see that. I saw the throw, but you didn't see the. It looks like it almost it kind of. You say pulled up, but it looked like a pop, you know, and that's what worries me for Dak.
The hand, they were touching on his right pinky area. That's what the athletic trainer was pushing down on. So perhaps we'll have some more news on the injury front for Dak today as he undergoes the MRI.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Though for the hamstring injury.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.